Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this and some of the other programming here at Capital OTB during their championship meet, which will run through that first weekend in April in the Florida Derby. We'll be down there for that. Looking forward to that visit. But again, thanks to the folks at Gulfstream. This morning, we'll concentrate a little bit over on the west coast of Florida, though. Some nice stakes action over at Tampa, and a little bit later on, we'll be joined by Ren Carruthers. You see her during the day on the Tampa Signal, and we'll get some stakes thoughts from her. But with some horses in the nice stakes at Tampa this afternoon, we'll start things off with our friend Mark Cassie and talk some of his stakes runners at Tampa today and more. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Seth.
Happy to have you on board. And I want to start things out by kind of going back to the end of last year. We haven't talked since, but I want to congratulate you. I pulled up the stats from Woodbine, and boy, that was a really nice meet for you. 119 wins, the leading trainer at Woodbine. So again, congratulations on a great North of the Border season last year.
Yeah, thanks, Seth. It was kind of slow in the beginning, but we had a real strong finish to the Woodbine meet.
And it was good to see them back in action up there and whatnot. We have always enjoyed our visits up there. Fun racing. And so, again, congratulations on a nice 2022 season.
You know, it's first-class racing and, just a good place to race. It is truly a great place.
Yeah, I agree. We always have fun up there. And with the two turf courses, a lot of turf racing, that's always a lot of fun. All right, let's shift our attention down to Tampa. And, again, you have some runners in the stakes today. We'll start things out in the Pasco. Three-year-olds going 7 furlongs. You have a couple in here. And let's start things out talking a little bit about Champion's Dream. We're going to watch the replay of the Nashua back on November 6th. Champion's Dream is going to be the number 4 horse. He's new in your barn. Talk a little bit about how he is progressed since arriving with you and what you expect this afternoon from Champion's Dream.
Yeah, we got him, about 2 months ago, and we've had him here at our training center in Ocala with me. And, you know, he's trained really well, Seth. That was not the strongest Nashua that they've ever ran, so He's gonna have to step up his game. I think he's got to step it up today. There's a couple, pretty useful horses in the race. That being said, couldn't be training any better, and I expect a big race from him.
Very good. And again, the Nashua is at a mile today, is at 7 furlongs, debuted at 7 furlongs up at Saratoga, and won that very nicely. So I would expect the distance is not a question mark.
Now, he's sharp right now. Obviously, this is the beginning where, we're hoping for bigger and better things after today. Probably the Sam Davis after this. So I just kind of wanted to find a spot for him to get to know him a little bit and not have to have him, at his very, very best. And he's really good right now, though. He's training great. And like I said, I don't know him very well, but I would be very disappointed if he doesn't run well.
I'm also intrigued to hear your thoughts on Armstrong, because I'm kind of tilting towards Armstrong in the Pasco. We mentioned your season up at Woodbine, and we're going to look at the Clarendon from December 9th. Armstrong's going to be the number 2 horse here. Nice gutsy neck win for Armstrong. All 3 races so far have been up at Woodbine. That means they've all been on the synthetic, but looks like he's working well for you down in Ocala since. Part of the ownership, Dean Reeves. Boy, Dean had such a good season last year, particularly up at Saratoga, but throughout. And so I find Armstrong very interesting. Give me your thoughts going into this, and maybe more importantly, how's he going to transfer to the dirt?
Well, Seth, the reason he trained very well on the dirt prior to going to Woodbine, but he's a Canadian bred, so we always knew where he was headed. It wasn't about him not training well on the dirt or needing synthetic. It was more about him being a Canadian bred. He trained well on the dirt before he went up there. That last race, he beat a good horse. The horse that he beat is a nice horse. And they separated themselves from the field. He's come back, and he's trained well on the dirt again. You just never know. You never know until you try. But all indications are that he will be just fine on the dirt. But I'll tell you a little bit more this evening.
Give me some thoughts. For him, this is a little bit of a stretch out. The first couple of races were at 5.5. Last time at 6. We're talking still a one-turn sprint. But what are you expecting for the 7 today?
If you look at him, he's a beautiful horse, very beautiful horse, stretchy type horse, good neck and shoulder, and a horse that you would expect to run on. So I don't see the 7.8s being an issue. It's for us. It's a way, obviously, where it's every owner's dream and trainer at this time of year to have hopes to make the Kentucky Derby. And this is what this is. This is a step. This is a step to decide, one for him. Can he go farther than 3/4? Can he run on the dirt? So it's just, if you go and, and you see my Hall of Fame plaque, it says, training horses is like putting a puzzle together, and you have to keep trying the pieces. So this is just a piece of the puzzle. We'll see how it fits.
I like that. And I have to ask, you mentioned Canadian bred. You mentioned the Kentucky Derby, but Queen's Plate maybe floating out there as well later in the year?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. First and foremost, he's got to prove he can get a distance of ground. But, yeah, for sure.
Oh, and I will check that. It's now the King's Plate.
The King's Plate, yes. Yeah. The King's Plate, not the Queen's Plate.
Yeah,
King's Plate. It's going to take me a while. It's going to take me a while.
All of us.
It's been the Queen's Plate since I've been around.
Yeah, forever for me. From a trainer's perspective, do you have any thoughts on the change in the schedule for the King's Plate?
The King's Plate?
Yeah, being a little later now and say, used to kind of kick off the summer. Now it's a little later on in August.
I actually prefer it. I think it's better.
Okay.
The problem, and it's not such a big problem for us, for me, but, a lot of these horses shut down for the Canadian horse shut down for the winter because there's no racing. So a lot of those guys stay at home. And I just think when it was earlier, it was tougher to get ready for it. The other thing is you can still, if you're lucky enough to have a Kentucky Derby horse or something, you can actually still run in the Derby and still make the King's Plate.
Yeah.
So I actually prefer it. I prefer it.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's move a little later in the card. The Gasparilla this afternoon at Tampa. This is for the 3-year-old fillies going that 7 furlongs, and you have Personal Pursuit. And I pulled up a race going back to September. Has had a couple of starts since then, but the two starts since then for Personal Pursuit were on the turf. This was the last time she was seen on the dirt. She's going to be the number 6 horse here, a nice win. So talk a little bit about Personal Pursuit getting back to the dirt and what you expect from her this afternoon in the Gasparilla.
She's a filly. I had her up at Saratoga, and I think I even had her in where she was on the also eligible, and she ended up getting a tooth abscess, and it took us forever to get her over that. And then, in my mind, she's bred to run on the turf, so I always wanted to try to run her on the turf. I had her in at Aqueduct on the turf, and it came off, and we ran her, and she won impressively. Her only start on the dirt, but then I went back and I tried her. I can't remember the name of the stake at Aqueduct on the turf, but she had an extremely difficult trip there, and so I gave her an excuse. But I thought she would have been really tough in the wait a while, and she ran very spotty, and she disappointed me. She has a tremendous pedigree, and it's very important for her to get some black type, and so that's what we're doing. You know, we're going to go back to the dirt. We're tying some blinkers on her. But this is not an easy race. This is not an easy race, but she's training well, so we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, I think it is definitely a nice, fun, competitive field. What was the game plan? What was the thought behind adding the blinkers this afternoon?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
The thought process for adding the blinkers today.
Well, as I said in her last start, Tyler rode her, and he said she was very spotty, was shying from horses, and so we're just trying to get her more focused on running. Right now, I would consider her an underachiever, and sometimes when you have a horse that's not performing up to your expectations, you know, you got to, again, another piece of the puzzle, right?
Yeah, very good. So some interesting runners this afternoon at Tampa, and we wish you a lot of luck there. But speaking of interesting runners, I wanted a little update because I saw earlier this week Wonder Wheel back on the work tab, and I think we have a little video that you tweeted out of Wonder Wheel working for you up at Ocala. Talk a little bit about the workout the other day and how she has now moved on to the three-year-old season.
Yeah, I'm not much at tweeting, but she's got a lot of people love her, and so she's popular. So we gave her first breeze the other day, and I just wanted everybody to see that she was happy and healthy. And right now we're looking at possibly the Sun Coast, which is middle of next month at Tampa, or if we don't go there, the Devona Dale, I believe, is the first week of March at Gulfstream. What we're trying to do, we feel we want to go back. You know, she's had a lot of success at Keeneland, so we want to go to the Ashland and then hopefully the Oaks. So we're going to get one start into her before the Ashland. That's our plan. Like I said, it could be the Sun Coast at Tampa, or it could be the Devona Dale at Gulfstream.
Certainly looking forward to her. And you mentioned the success at Keeneland, the Alcibiades, and we're going to take a look at her win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly, where she was just phenomenal to run a record to 4 wins and a second and 5 starts last year. And I mentioned on the air, because I looked it up after this win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly, I went back and watched when you were sitting in with us on the backstretch up at Saratoga. That was just a couple days before her trying the spinaway, and you were clearly very high on Wonder Wheel at that point. But the spinaway was going to be her third start. And I watched the interview again, and during the interview, you were kind of quoting a mentor and saying, you know, going back, I understand you can't judge a horse till they run 5 times. Well, the Breeders' Cup was start number 5, so I guess now you can reliably judge Wonder Wheel. Talk about her 2-year-old season.
Yeah, you know, I thought we were high on her before she ever made her first start, and then, of course, she was impressive when she won. But, you know, we all, hey, you're an old handicapper, and I've been doing this for a long time. We've seen many a horse break their maiden like they're champions. And then, so she broke her maiden. I was happy. I thought her next race was good when she won the debutante, but I didn't think it was a very strong group. So I still, I'm thinking, well, this is a pretty good filly. But when I got her up to Saratoga, and like you said, I think, you know, I did an interview before the spin away, and I kind of was telling everybody I thought she was special. I thought, I was comparing her to Classic Empire, and the reason I was comparing her to Classic Empire was he was our last juvenile Breeders' Cup winner, and I thought that she had the potential to be one. The spin away is, obviously, it's a big race. It's a grade one, and I think I maybe mentioned to you, oh, yeah, we want to win this race, but, you know, our goal is the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, she just kept getting better and better. Her Breeders' Cup victory was it was pretty darn good because, you know, she didn't, a lot of things went against her and she was still able to overcome them. And she won impressively. She beat a good group of horses and she did it with authority.
And I don't want to jinx you, but I don't think that's possible because I think both two-year-old categories were pretty much slam dunks this year. So I think you guys are going to be picking up some trophy material in a couple of weeks at the Eclipse Awards, and I congratulate you on that and a really nice season with Wonder Wheel.
I'll say this. If she doesn't win, I'm going to retire.
So that'll be
the last day of my trip. What's that?
I said fair enough because I'm right with you.
Okay. Yeah. So if she doesn't win, you can just go ahead and announce my retirement.
Very good. So, again, congratulations on that. One other horse I wanted to touch on just quickly. I wanted to go back to just a few weeks ago, and Golden Glider, who won the top Tropical Park Derby to complete the three-year-old season. That was a nice win at the end of the season. What's up for the four-year-old season going forward for Golden Glider?
Yeah, I'm still not sure. It was a good race. You know, he's a horse we liked a lot. Kind of just had mixed results. Gave him a break, and we gilded him. And he came back and was training really good, hence the reason, you know, we ran him in a stake off of a, I don't know, almost a six-month layoff. He had a great trip, and he won. And at some point, I still want to get him on the grass. So I don't know. We have a couple options, possibly another synthetic race on stake on Pegasus Day, or you may see him pop up in a grass stake somewhere. So I don't know yet. I'm going to give him kind of some time to recover. You know, when you run as hard as he did off a six-month layoff, it takes something out of him.
Yeah, it was a bang-bang finish. The chart margin was a nose there, but a nice performance, as they say, to wind up that three-year-old season. So we'll look for him down the road. And, Mark, before I let you go, I have to ask you, because it has clearly been in the news for the past couple of months. You're on the Horseman's Advisory Board for HISA, the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act, the agency. And with the legal challenges, things have been up in the air with HISA, and you had a nice little op-ed in TDN just a couple, 3 weeks ago or so that I would tell people to go look at. But just take a minute to talk a little bit about HISA and from your perspective, what it means to the sport, and what are we looking at going forward now with HISA?
Yeah, that's a good question, you know, and that's above my pay grade there.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
There's so much going on in so many different directions. I've been disappointed by all the bickering back and forth. If you look, HISA is supported and by a lot of big organizations and big people. Look, until you're in the trenches and you understand the difficulties of going from racing in one jurisdiction to the next jurisdiction to the next jurisdiction, and then knowing all the different rules you have to go by, it's difficult. We want one form, you know, one form of rules that we can all go by, and we also want everybody playing on the same level playing field, and that's not happening right now. I think it slowed down a little bit when you know, the FBI came in and you know, did the sweep, and we got rid of some bad characters, but there's still some more out there, and we need a group that has some teeth that can go in and straighten things out. I want to be careful because, you know, I have my own opinions, and all I'm asking and all I want is a level playing field. And anybody that believes right now we are operating on a level playing field is we have a bridge to sell them or something, because it's not, and it needs to be fixed. And HISA, in my opinion, is our best option.
Yeah, you've been vocal about this subject in various forums, and it, like I say, I would tell people to go look at that op-ed. And I will say, this summer I had Lisa Lazarus on, the chief of HICE. I had her on with me up at Saratoga, and we talked a little bit. And you're on that Horseman's Advisory Group, and it seems like, for the folks who've been critical of HICE, it seems like the group is very willing and very responsive to ideas that the horsemen have put out there.
And that's what I've been impressed with. And one, Lisa Lazarus is an extremely smart lady. That being said, she doesn't think she knows it all. She listens. And that's the most important thing of all. And we've seen that already, in that there's been some rules that were put out and then they were changed. And that's because she does listen and they do listen, and that's important.
Yeah.
You know, this is a tall task, and it's not easy, and there's going to be changes along the way. But when you talk to Lisa, you give her an idea, you know she's listening. Now, she may not always agree with you, which is fine, but she's listening. And if she believes there's a better way, she's not afraid to say, hey, let's change it. And that's what impresses me about her. And I think if every person could just sit down and talk to her for 5 minutes, they would have a different understanding and of what the game is, you know, what her leadership is trying to achieve.
Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned it on the horseman side of things, the different rules and whatnot, but even for horse players, that can be an important issue. And so we're kind of seeing where this goes forward. And again, with the legal issues now, waiting to see how it all plays out. But if we can kind of get some consistency, you know, coast to coast, I think that's good for everybody. And again,
as a horse player, you want to be able to handicap a race, look at the different things, and decide who you want to bet on, not, well, who is, you know, we have a trainer transfer and we go from a guy that, you know, is winning 15% and this horse is running a 70 buyer, all once he goes to a guy that's winning 25% and the horse comes and runs a 90 buyer within weeks of the transition, there's an issue.
Yeah,
because there are not enough, there's not enough variables in training a racehorse. It's not rocket science. There's only so much you can do. And if you see that on a constant basis, that type of change, and we saw it with two guys, one's in jail, and I guess the other one's getting ready to go to jail. We saw that. You saw it. I saw it. We all saw it. And we always, you know, if it's too good to be true, it usually is.
Yeah.
And it was.
And again, I'll point people to that op-ed you wrote kind of in favor of HICE just a few weeks ago in the TDN.
Yep.
Mark, as always, we really appreciate the conversation. Always appreciate you taking some time. Good luck this afternoon with your runners at Tampa. Good luck going forward with Wonder Wheel into the three-year-old season. And, we will be watching Eclipse Night. I don't think retirement is in your future. I think things are going to work out well in a couple of weeks down in Florida as far as the trophy. But, again, appreciate the time. We'll talk again.
Thank you, Seth. Have a good day.
Appreciate it. Mark Cassie, again, really a nice set of runners today. Armstrong, to me, is very interesting today. It goes from the synthetic to the dirt, but that one's interesting. It's going to be fun to see what Wonder Wheel can do this year and more. And again, that you go to TDN, or if you type into Google even, I think if you type Mark Cassie and HICE, I think it'll take you to that op-ed. Just a little short piece, but kind of, you know, in support of HICE, given some of the pushback it's gotten from horsemen in the last couple of months or so, or beyond. All right, we'll take a break. A little bit later on, Ren Carruthers will go over some of her thoughts on these Tampa Stakes as well. With Mark, we talked about two of them. There's actually three Tampa Stakes this afternoon. But I'll come back from this break and just do a little news and notes. In the meantime, Ren is set for about 10:40. So we'll have 10 minutes or so to just hit on some news and notes and whatnot. All of that coming up when Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them. You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing. The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America, and thanks to our friend Mark Cassie. Always appreciate when folks take the time like that. Fun interview with Mark. Let me remind you, because we mentioned it on the handicappers report, but they were over across the room. But now I have it. The NYRA calendar, Great Wall calendar for 2023. You can get it today here at the Clubhouse Racebook. The first 75 folks through the door. Doors open at 11. First 75 folks through the door, $1 admission, and you get a 2023 NYRA calendar. So keep that in mind for this afternoon here at the Clubhouse, this morning and this afternoon here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Also keep in mind, we mentioned it a few times because it came out yesterday, a couple days ago, Santa Anita canceled for today. And again, if you've been watching the news, no surprise, the crazy wet weather they've been having out there. They managed to get in yesterday. They're planning to get in tomorrow, Sunday, but in anticipation of weather, they canceled at Santa Anita for today, and they've also canceled the holiday Monday card. Now, with the Monday card, they were planning not to run next Friday, but with the cancellations, they'll be back in action next Friday. That's the game plan at this point anyway. But as I say, Santa Anita, nothing today, nothing Monday. They plan to run tomorrow, Sunday, however. So if you're a Santa Anita player, keep that in mind. Did want to toss out there our friend Anise Montplaisir, who we've had on the show in the past. She was an intern for the Clancy Brothers in the Saratoga Special a few years ago up at Saratoga, and she's gone on to be an interesting player in the industry herself. And she started the Amplify Horse Racing Organization, which is an organization that is, the goal is to bring young people into the game. And we've had, we had Anise on this past summer talking a little bit about Amplify. She was originally from North Dakota, and I want to say she was still a teenager when she was kind of a racing official at a little three-day meet out there, and has a fun background, and like a lot of the Saratoga Special interns, has gone on to make a little name for herself in the sport. But this, her Amplify Horse Racing Organization, they do great work bringing new people into the game, young people, and they are opening up their mentorship program applications now through Friday, February 3rd. So if you're between the ages of 15 and 25 and you're thinking, hey, I want to see if the horse racing industry might be for me, go visit their website. It's amplifyhorseracing.org/mentorship. But I'm sure if you go to the front page, you can find the link. But it's amplifyhorseracing.org. And again, you can sign up to potentially get into the mentorship program. Do it between now and February 3rd. So did want to mention that. Again, I would imagine there, being in the Saratoga area, I would imagine there are young people out there who are thinking, yeah, horse racing sounds like a good career ahead. So that's a great way to test the waters with the mentorship program. Do want to mention, coming up on Tuesday, they will announce the World Horse Racing Awards. That is something that comes out from the International Federation of Horse Racing Authorities. It's thought that the world's best racehorse, maybe Flightline, so we'll see. But the awards will be streamed live Tuesday morning at 9:15. So keep that in mind. The world's best racehorse amongst the announcements. And again, I would guess if you, I'm looking to see if they have the actual streaming website address, and I don't see it out here, but I know the event will be streamed. I would guess IFHA, International Federation of Horse, Federation of Horse Racing Authorities. I think if you go to their website, they will have the link to the streaming on Tuesday morning. So keep that in mind if you'd like to check that out and see who gets the year-end honors from the IFHA. That's coming up, again, Tuesday morning. I pulled up, you know, we're fairly into the early stages of some meets, and it's always interesting to see who on the human side of things is on a little bit of a roll early on. So I pulled up Aqueduct Tampa, Oaklawn, and Gulfstream. Aqueduct's meet started on New Year's Day. I mean, obviously they were at Aqueduct before that, but the current meet, if you look at Equibase, started on New Year's Day. So that one's fairly new, but Manny Franco has been this past week, certainly racing very, very well. So Manny Franco is in the lead on the jock side with 16 wins. Kendra Carmouche, he's been riding pretty well recently as well. He's second, and then Dylan Davis is third. You go down the top five, Jose Lascano and Eric Cancel. But Manny Franco, as I said, a little bit of a roll this winter, particularly the last few days. Carmouche and Dylan Davis, 1-2-3. On the trainer side of things, Linda Rice is on top but with five. It's pretty close. Rob Atrus with four. And I will say, Dave Donk and Mark Hennig tied at three. So the trainers battle, again, we're very early in this meet, having started on New Year's Day. But I will mention, Dave Donk, eight starts, three wins. But he's three for the last six, Dave Donk, who was on a little bit of a cold spell until the last two or three days of racing at Aqueduct, and he's now won three of the last six, Dave Donk. So again, maybe worth paying a little bit of attention to going forward, because when barns get hot, it seems like they can get rolling a little bit. Over at Tampa Bay, no surprise on the jockey side. Can you guess? Sammy Camacho on top with 28, tied underneath at 21, Pablo Morales and Jose Ferrer. Santino and Rojas are both with 14. But again, not a shock to see Sammy Camacho on board. on the trainer side of things, can you guess there? Well, you might guess Gerald Bennett, but no. It's Delgado with 16, Bennett with 15, and with 11, Arnett Barboza and Arrigata both have nine. So there's your top five there on the trainer side. But again, it may be an interesting meet going forward, because you know, you usually think of Gerald Bennett down there, and he's right there. He's only one behind Delgado, but Delgado has far less, well, less starters. 41 starters with 16 wins compared to Gerald Bennett, 51 starters and 15 wins. So that may be an interesting battle going forward down there at Tampa, that trainer's side of things. Over at Gulfstream, and again, their championship meet kicked off on December 26th. So again, we're fairly fresh into the meet. Can you guess who the leading jockey is? Come on, you know, it's Irod Ortiz with 20 wins. Luis Saez second with 13. Jose Ortiz with 12. Vasquez 10, and Tyler Gaffleon 9. But no shock there that Irod Ortiz off to a very good start at the championship meet, leading 7-win lead fairly early in the meet here. On the trainer side of things, it is Safi Joseph over Mark Cassie. Mark Cassie sitting second. Safi has nine. Mark is actually tied for second with Antonio Sano with six each. Then Todd Pletcher with five. And then there's a slew of trainers tied at three. So again, it's early in the meet. Going to be interesting to see. Todd Pletcher is usually very strong down at Gulfstream. He's sitting four behind Safi Joseph at this point. So we'll see how that plays out on the trainer's side, the Gulfstream championship meet. And over at Oaklawn, their meet kicked off on December 9th. And on the jockey side of things, pretty good battle on the jockey side of things at Oaklawn. Christian Torres, 17. Arietta, 16. Rafael Bejarano, sitting with 15. Juarez, how many years ago? He got off to a really nice start to the career down at Gulfstream. And I thought, this is a guy with a future. And then kind of blended in a little bit, but having a nice little meet over at Oaklawn, hitting at 18%, and again, 11 wins, and Santana with 9, but Christian Torres with the 17 currently on top. And on the trainer side of things is interesting, because Robertina Diodoro with 17 wins, but Chris Hartman with 13. So Diodoro is in the lead by 4 wins, but he started 55 compared to Hartman's 29. So Chris Hartman is hitting at 45%, 29 starts and 13 wins. Diodoro, 55 starts, 17 wins. Ron Maquette with 9, and then there's a bunch tied at 4 wins each. But it's going to be interesting maybe to see how that plays out as well with Diodoro and Hartman. Just interesting to see if Hartman can keep up with the almost coin flip win percentage. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, as mentioned earlier, we will be joined by Ren Carruthers, who you see during the day doing the pre-race commentary for Tampa Bay Downs, and we'll get some of her thoughts on this Tampa Stakes schedule coming up this afternoon. Nice little three-race stakes schedule. We talked a little bit about it with Mark Cassie and his runners, but we'll get some ideas overall right after this. Stay tuned.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB, become a better horse player.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them.
We back.
And you get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
Yeah. To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
A lot of good horses come out of here. And if you want to go to the next level, Gulfstream Park was the place to come.
I remember the first time I came to Gulfstream. It was like this big fairy tale place. All the history. And all these great horses, trainers, jockeys. It was everything that I ever dreamed of.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. As mentioned earlier, joined now by our friend Ren Carruthers. You see her during the racing day at Tampa, and a nice Tampa Stakes schedule this afternoon, so I thought we'd cover some of those. Ren, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Thank you for having me back on.
Happy to have you back on. We always like to live vicariously watching some Tampa, so always happy to talk when there's a nice Stakes day down there. And I just pulled up and went through some of the human stats, you know, fairly early in the Tampa meet. And no surprise, Sammy Camacho on top as far as the jocks. But I thought a little bit interesting, Delgado making it a little bit interesting on the trainer side, whereas you normally think of Bennett getting it done. But I think may play out interesting down at Tampa on the trainer side of things. But always fun to kind of keep track of the jockeys and trainers, because when they get hot, you have to play them into your handicapping a little bit.
Oh, yeah, of course. But, yeah, I mean, Bennett, you mentioned him. He's, I think, striking at around 31% himself. So, yeah, I mean, and the jockeys have been so competitive as late. I mean, you see Camacho riding awesome as always. You know, Morales, Diaz, they're just all coming out. And Ronnie Allen, I mean, rocking Ronnie Allen's been riding lights out too. So, great colony there.
Yeah, absolutely. Fun to watch all winter long. Let's kick in and talk a little bit about some of the stakes action. I had Mark Cassie on earlier and talked about some of his runners, and I like one of his runners in the Pasco. Three-year-olds going 7 furlongs. Obviously, we're on the march to the Kentucky Derby eventually if things work out, but the Tampa Bay Derby perhaps in the interim. And I talked with Mark about both Champion's Dream and Armstrong, and I'm going to pull up that Clarendon Stakes. We watched that a little bit earlier, but we'll check that out again. The number two horse will be Armstrong. I'm tilting in that direction. And Mark, you know, said we don't really know the dirt. We're trying to find out today. He kind of felt both of his runners were in good shape and good spots, but, you know, he said, we're putting pieces to the puzzle. So Armstrong and Champion's Dream are interesting to me. But I put Armstrong on top. What did you see in the Pasco?
Well, I'm boring, and I put the other one on top, Champion's Dream. But I do have Armstrong as my second choice. I do. I think he should handle dirt. Looks like he worked well over it.
Yeah.
He's by Mucho Macho Man, who won the Classic. Mr. Jester was a dirt stakes winner. I think there's a lot of reason to like this horse trying the dirt. He beat a really nice one in pulling an OT last out in that Clarendon. That horse would have put together a stakes-winning hat trick, natural hat trick, had he taken that race, but Armstrong denied him. You've got Gallardo aboard. They've got that relationship. You know, he's been riding for the barn up there, some of the runners at Woodbine. But Champion's Dream, I know he's new to Mark's barn, but this is a horse who's already run so well at 2. You're by Justify, a Triple Crown champion. You're out of a tap-it mare. I just feel like whatever he did then, hopefully he's going to be even better now as a 3-year-old. I like that he, you know, has won on the front end, but he's also, you know, showed rateability there in the Nashua. So, I mean, and then, of course, the Grade 1 Champagne, that race was just like a slop fest, right?
Yeah.
So he's a horse I did ultimately put on top, but I did put Armstrong second, as you mentioned. And I will enhance some Playboy for Bennett in third, but I will make mention regarding the one Shaq Diesel. That horse, it makes no mention in the comment line there that when he came out of the gate in the inaugural, he got bumped by the horse to his outside. Then he got bumped by Handsome Playboy as well. And then he kind of had to be in with horses, and it looked like there was some steadying going on and whatnot. So I think he has an excuse for getting beaten 7.5 lengths. I'm not saying he would have won, but I don't think the margin would have been that big.
Yeah, interesting. Good notes there. Yeah, Handsome Playboy is the one that scares me. As I say, the Cassie horse intrigues me, but Handsome Playboy, second to Super Chow. Super Chow's a really nice horse. Came back and won the Limehouse at Gulfstream.
Yeah.
And Handsome Playboy then came back and won next out at Tampa. The aforementioned Gerald Bennett, that's the one that scares me. And I'm going to be interested to look at the odds. If the odds float around that 7-2, certainly if they go up a click or two, I'd have to put that one in the mix and play around a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, and also the third place horse out of that race, Dreaming of Kona, he was DQ'd in, but he was only a half length behind the horse that got disqualified, but in the Mucho Macho Man Stakes out of that race. So, yeah, it's a very nice group that was there
in the
inaugural.
No question about it. All right, let's move on to the Wayward Last. These are fillies and mares going 8.5 furlongs, and I pulled up a replay going back to December 17th at Tampa. The number 9 will be Tap Dance Fever. And I, you know, it's Gerald Bennett, and on recency, I use Tap Dance Fever because there are a couple others in here, Pass the Champagne and Beth's Dream, who maybe are a little classier, and I might have tilted towards them. I mean, Beth's Dream last time out was a badly beaten seventh, but behind Search Results and the Molly Pitcher. So these horses may class up okay, but they're coming off a layoff, so I was a little concerned. So I went with Tap Dance Fever on the recency, but I'm interested to see where you went in the Wayward Lass.
Well, I definitely don't blame you for leaning that direction, especially when she obviously, you know, is a winner over this track. She's coming off, as you mentioned, that nice length and a quarter score there over Cafe Society, who's a nice horse. But I did go with Pass the Champagne. It is a class lens for me. The fact that she was able, she's already proven that she can come back off a layoff and win. I know the figure wasn't, you know, especially impressive, but that was just a 7 furlong. And, I mean, that half was, you know, 44-3. I think this is a really nice horse. That was her first time against 4 and up. And whatever happened in the Oaks, you know, obviously we just forget about it. She had previously just gotten beat ahead, you know, by Malapot in the grade one Ashland. And the work, it appears to me that she's working quite well. Of course, what they do in the morning is going to be different from how they perform in the afternoon. But I still think there's some fizz to the Champagne, if you know what I mean. As for Beth's Dream, my concern with her a bit is just the distance with a group like this, because I do think that if she's not, you know, if she doesn't have those screws fully tightened, the rail draw, you know, determines, I mean, the style would have been to the front anyway, right? But it really pushes that as the tactic here today. Now, conversely, she gets a ground-saving trip, so maybe she doesn't have to waste as much energy. But all that being said, you know, it's one of those things where you gotta make it right there when those gates pop open. She does have, obviously, a really strong jockey in Amiciel Jaramillo up to ride. So I wouldn't discount her. But, yeah, I did end up going with Pass the Champagne over Beth's Dream over Tap Dance Fever.
Yeah, and it's very intriguing race with the two classy horses coming off the layoff. I'm looking forward to that. And then we are back to the three-year-olds, but the three-year-old fillies in the Gasparilla, 7 furlongs, the trip. And I'm going to pull up the Sandpiper from a little bit earlier in the meet, going back to December 3rd. The number 5 is going to be Darth Vader. The number 1 is going to be Awesome Pick. They're both back in on Saturday afternoon today. I put Darth Vader on top. I just, you know, master of the obvious
too.
Here. Yeah, I mean, it's just couldn't get past, off, particularly off of this win. I couldn't get past Darth Vader. What are your thoughts?
You know what? Seth, oh my gosh, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I looked at it, I'm like, how do I beat her? Because I'm already chalking the Pasco, and I don't want to go chalk race to race.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it, and I understand why, for example, the horse Personal Pursuit for Cassie would draw attention. She's already, you know, a winner on dirt. That was not a very good field, but that being said, it doesn't take away from what she might be able to do going forward, getting back on the dirt herself. You know, blinkers going on, the Lasix. She is from a her siblings are very accomplished on all surfaces. So I think that obviously she's a horse who could do quite well here. But that being said, you know, I just look at Darth Vader and what has she done wrong? Okay, she lost the debut. She stumbled out the gate. The My Dear Girl Stakes, I mean, she had a steady along the rail and stuff, if you watch that back. And, I mean, I'm not saying she would have won anyway. Atomically is a horse that, out of that performance, was recruited by the Pletcher Barn to take a go at the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, for crying out loud. So it's not like she, you know, lost to some bad horse. And that was her first time going to turns also on top of it. This is a 7 furlong race, and she's already shown that she gets over our surface, obviously, quite well. And so, yeah, Darth Vader.
Yeah, I couldn't get past that one either. You know, again, you like to find the clever things, but sometimes you just have to be master of the obvious and take the W where you can find it. Before I let you go, I have to ask, have you gotten an update? Because I think it was the last time we talked to you. I think the horse was still, maybe that afternoon was going to run, but your kind of namesake, Pedigeek, and I pulled up on Equibase, had a workout about a week ago, and I had texted you after the first start of the career. I want to say at about 25-1, ran a decent little third, I believe. So any word on when we may see Pedigeek again? Have you talked to the connections?
Well, yeah, I think it's okay. I don't think Jonathan has a problem with me mentioning that they were actually going to, I think, try to enter her this weekend, but the dirt race didn't go, which unfortunately, if we had the dirt race, then we would have had it. So they want, I think that's the plan, to try the dirt next. And so maybe we'll see her at Tampa. Maybe we'll see her at Gulfstream. But I'm very excited to see what she does next either way.
Yeah, it was a nice-looking debut, so that should be fun. Ren, as always, appreciate the conversation. And, again, I'll tell people to check out the Tampa Signal during the day and see your thoughts and also your Twitter feed. You usually put out the selections early in the day as well. We mentioned it off the air, but we should also mention for folks, they're off the turf today down at Tampa, correct?
Yes, they are, which is why I haven't yet posted my complete top three. I'm waiting for all the scratches to come on out. But yeah, it's unfortunate. Those turf races, those main special weight turf races were so salty. But yeah, we're off the turf.
Yeah, I was planning to get some thoughts from you on the 10th, which I thought looked like a monster. Certainly some horses would come out of there worth paying attention to, but now off the turf, it may not play out quite as well. But still, a nice card with some nice stakes action today down at Tampa. Ren, always appreciate your thoughts and appreciate
you
taking
you,
the time.
Thank you, you have a great day.
Yeah, same to you. We'll talk again.
Bye.
Ren Carruthers from Tampa. Again, nice stakes card at Tampa today with potentially some three-year-old action playing, as I say, potentially to Derby, but certainly in the interim to the Tampa Bay Derby, perhaps. And Mark said, you know, maybe aim for the Sam Davis for his runners coming out of the Pasco. We'll see how it all plays out this afternoon down at Tampa. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Oh, let me remind you one more time. It's the NYRA calendar. It's NYRA calendar giveaway day here at the Clubhouse Racebook. First 75 folks through the door, you pay your dollar admission, and you get a NYRA calendar this afternoon here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I believe we have a relatively early post time at Aqueduct today. I think it's 12:20 today, I think. So that means they'll kick off the pregame show sooner rather than later. So I'll wrap things up for this edition of Racing Across America so we can get you to Andy and Anthony and their thoughts in New York this afternoon. I'll be back in an hour or so for OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. I have some Aqueduct, some Gulfstream, also looked at some Oaklawn, and with the Tampa Stakes, I thought, why not throw in the Tampa card? So I'll toss out some Tampa thoughts, I think, on Twitter as well a little bit later on. I think the other three tracks are on the one sheet today, so you can check that out as well. But get live thoughts all afternoon long right here on OTB Live on a Saturday afternoon. All right, it's been fun. Hopefully we've given you some good ideas going back to Handicapper's Report with Anthony Mormino and then this morning with Mark Cassie and Ren Carruthers. So I will wrap it for Racing Across America. I have to thank our friends at Gulfstream first for their sponsorship of this and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout their championship meet. Gulfstream sponsoring some of our programming and events, and we appreciate that sponsorship. Otherwise, I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate when you tune in. Spread the word. And don't forget, I don't mention it enough, if you're watching locally and you have friends outside the area, the morning programming is available on our YouTube channel. So even if some of you may be snowbirds, maybe headed to Florida for a month or two, if that's the game plan, don't forget, when you're out of town, you can check us out on the Capital OTB YouTube channel. We'd love to have you do that. But as I say, if you know people who do live outside the area, horse racing fans, pass the word on to them as well. All right, Seth Merrill, Racing Across America, Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, we'll be back in about an hour or so for OTB Live. So we'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.